are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Wednesday hump day, and we're going to help you get through it. It's the regular Wednesday Locked On NBA show here with me, John Corrales of the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at NolaJake.
Jake, we have what's known in the business as a jam-packed show today. A lot to get to in this one. Seven games, some really good nationally televised games. In the second segment, we're going to talk about all of a sudden Nate Bjorkman is on the hot seat in Indiana. He just got on the seat. How is it hot already? And in the third segment, we're going to get into a little Russell Westbrook because he is the topic du jour. And Scott Brooks had some high praise for Russell Westbrook, maybe a little too high. But let's start, Jake, here with, first of all, this episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At 2.6 carbs and only 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. So stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in this episode. Really enjoyed this Toronto Raptors LA Clippers game that went back and forth. Ultimately, a 105-100 Clippers win. The Clippers, basically, it was all in the second half that they did their damage. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard had
clutch. Paul George, I think we're required
starts.
To
yes.
say.
Yeah, playoff P, getting his game going. It was kind of funny because at halftime, Shaq was like, is Paul George slowing down? And all he did was drop 8 of 16, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists to help the comeback. Marcus Morris, 22 points for him as well. Kawhi, quiet night, 13 points, but didn't really matter here as the Clippers did the job in the second half against I think I'm legally required to call them a feisty Toronto Raptors team.
Yeah, like this is a perfect Toronto Raptors game. You and I were talking about this before we started recording, right? They're competitive. Fred VanVleet scored 27 points, dished out 13 assists. Pascal Siakam with 24 points too. Like they were competitive in this, but they lost. And that's kind of probably what you want from them.
Yeah, look, first of all, Fred VanVleet, just awesome. Perennially underrated Fred VanVleet. Give this man his flowers. He 27 and 13, man. This dude was in control. They had no Kyle Lowry in this game. They were shorthanded. But the Raptors, here's my thing with the Raptors. This is a completely lost season for them, obviously. No team got screwed more by the circumstances of this season, and they're better than what their record is. I think the way things are going right now will actually benefit them. I'm a big believer in when things are at their worst, there's an opposite, there's a bright side, and vice versa. I think for the Raptors, this whole Tampa thing was a mess. They're going to fall out of the playoffs. It's not enough time to make up those three games, which is fine. Fall out of the playoffs in this year's draft, which is supposed to be deep and full of help. Get yourself a young player that can learn with high quality vets. Get yourselves back to Toronto. You picked up Kem Birch, who's going to be very useful. Pascal Siakam found himself. Figure your stuff out with Kyle Lowry. See if you can bring him back and make a run next year. I'm going to call it now and say, I fear next year's Toronto Raptors.
No, I agree with you. Look, they're in a great position. They're eighth in the tankathon standings right now. They got a 26.3% chance at a top four pick. You can add a difference maker. You know, I think if you're in the top seven, top eight of this draft, you're feeling pretty good, even after the drop off from those first three guys to a certain degree. So you get a guy that's going to be impactful. They're better than what their record indicates. They've been living out of hotels, basically, I'm kind of guessing the whole time. Like they just got screwed this year. It's fine. Mail it in. You've got your championship. You've got a very good head coach in Nick Nurse who can kind of figure a lot of this out. Take a breath. You guys will be fine long term.
So for the Clippers, it's all about playoff seeding right now. And the Clippers now moved into the third seed now out of a tie with the Denver Nuggets. This is all going to change by, you know, this time tomorrow, this is all going to change. But what's funny is the coming into this was the worst case scenario, a 4-5 Clippers versus Lakers. And after today's games, you have a worst case scenario, the 3-6 matchup, Clippers versus Lakers. This is not what the NBA wants. They do not want two LA teams facing each other right away and both getting knocked out. They want to be able to count on that LA market, especially after last year, all of the crap that they've been through. They would really love to have the LA market. They've got the New York market, two teams in there now. Let's get two LA teams in there, boost up those ratings that have been sagging. But these two teams seem to be on a collision course to face each other.
Pretty soon, right? And like the Lakers are going to be in a bit of a precarious situation, but they're going to do everything they can, even without LeBron James for the next two games, to hold on to that sixth spot, because they don't want to get into the play-in tournament whatsoever, even if they probably end up coming out of that. So it's going to kind of, if there's going to be movement here, it's going to be on the Clippers either kind of falling to four. And you've got to wonder if there's some jockeying for position between them and Denver, where maybe Clippers go full on load management the final couple games of the season to maybe avoid that three seed and not have to play the Lakers in the first round too. We've seen things like that before.
Yeah. I'm just afraid for them that the maneuvering will end up backfiring anyway. I think at this point you got to play there. It's so tight that two teams.
Well, that was their problem last year, right? Like the problem was resting guys in load management, not taking it seriously. And then they kind of flamed out of the playoffs to a certain degree. Are they going to learn those lessons? Or are you more worried about who you play in the first round?
No.
At a certain point, there should be kind of like an overriding factor there. And it's don't repeat last season.
Right. I think you just play your game. Just take these last few games, this last couple of weeks, get yourselves together. You've been dealing with injuries. You see if you can get Ibaka back and get him work back in. And just
his outfit was amazing.
That's the true story of the night. This entire podcast,
just done a whole segment on that.
The whole show should just have been about that leather jacket, bucket hat, like all black, everything outfit that Ibaka was.
It looked like a 1920s gumshoe private detective that should have been in a Dashiell Hammett novel or the Maltese Falcon movie or something like that. It was ridiculous. I loved it.
I loved it. Pull that off. I think he looked good, man. I think
that was awesome.
Surge is a fashion eye. All right, let's move over to one of those New York teams, the Brooklyn Nets, losing again to the Milwaukee Bucks, 124-118. This was another classic. We had a Giannis versus KD duel. Giannis 36-12-4 versus KD's 32-9-6. The key stretch here was a 20-3 run in the fourth quarter. And after the game, Steve Nash was asked if he should have called a timeout, which he didn't. And it's kind of surprising during a 20-3 run. But this was interesting. And I want to get your take on this, Jake. He said, "We could have called a timeout here for sure, but there's also part of our team that you want to learn to problem solve, so on. Maybe I could have called another timeout, but also you want to make sure you save a few for the end of the game. But yeah, I was caught in a little bit of a dilemma. Maybe I should have at the same time. I don't think I was going to make a difference at that point." Now, I'm very fascinated by this problem solving thing and putting his team in a position to get yourself out of that slide. Well, what's your take on that?
No, I like it to a certain degree, right? Like at a certain point, you've got two guys in this game, I should say, that are all NBA guys that have championships that you trust. So put your faith in those guys, show you trust them, and just be like, hey, you know what? This is a situation. You guys got to play your way out of this. We don't need to call a timeout for momentum. You're that good. Didn't quite work for the team, I don't think. But I don't hate the idea of, hey, I trust Kevin Durant. I trust Kyrie Irving, which is something that those guys seem like they crave from their head coach to a certain degree. You think those guys like being kind of micromanaged? No. If you go, hey, I trust you to go and do this, there's some degree of confidence building in that you probably want to see from them. But also they weren't able to do it and they lost this game. So there's, you know, sometimes it's just kind of like that. And maybe you just need to step in and be like, okay, it's just not our night. I don't know. I don't hate that he didn't call it when you have a team like that. You know, if this was, say, the Kings or the Pelicans, I'd be like, what the hell are they doing? When you have those two guys, like, okay, I see where he's coming from in this.
Here's what I do like about it. From this is the nuance of basketball.
Yeah.
If it was a different team, you absolutely should call a timeout. But in this scenario, you've got KD, you've got Kyrie, and they're obviously like, everybody knows, like they're running things, quote unquote. You don't have a lot when you're Steve Nash to hold over those guys. But when you have your team, watch your team go on give up a 20-3 run, and both KD and Kyrie can't help pull that team out of that slide, you put that onto the film session. Now you've got something to hold over those guys, and you can actually pick at certain things. And that when those guys can take that in a film session and respond to it, now Steve Nash can be like, look, I called out KD, I called out Kyrie, and they did the work. So you, Landry Shamet, for example, have to go out there and do the work when I call you out. And you, Nick Claxton, when I call you out, you got to go out there and do the work too. If Kyrie freaking Irving and Kevin freaking Durant can go out there and do it, then you can go do it. And I think that's kind of the thing that he's setting up, this dynamic. But and now I'm not in that film session, obviously, and those two guys have to play along. But this is that, I think that's part of the coaching dynamic and putting it on those guys and kind of helping those guys try to build themselves together.
No, I don't disagree with that. It's just, I don't know. This, that seems kind of tough to figure out to a certain degree, right? And, you know, they're not playing everyone all together. So how much do you make of this game in the first place?
Right, that's the other thing.
We should kill them, right, to a certain degree. We killed the Clippers last year for it, but at a certain point, they've got these three guys instead of two, and I want to give them a little bit more benefit of the doubt because I believe in all three of those guys. So I don't know. They're a tough team to really try and figure out and see what to make of it. But at a certain point, that also kind of runs out like it did for the Clippers too. It might just run out for, the say, the Nets in the finals, which is an awful time for it to do it. But I don't know. They're tough. Again, they're tough to kind of figure out, and I've been having trouble getting a read on them. But I kind of give the edge to talent that they'll be okay.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. And you look, they. My big question out of this really is: what do we take out of this at all? There was no James Harden, so Milwaukee won these two games, but you didn't have Harden. Does that help? Does that hinder anything down the stretch? Does that get into a my turn, your turn type of thing that doesn't work? Meanwhile, Giannis is playing his butt off, and we haven't mentioned more than his stat line here. Chris Middleton had a star game. Jrue Holiday had a star game. And at the risk of going long in this segment, Milwaukee did show that when you can play some defense, that you can, you have some kind of in there with, against Brooklyn, because Middleton can score, Giannis can score, they can play off of Giannis. Jrue Holiday can do a ton out there.
Difference maker, my boy right there.
Seriously, right? 23 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. Like, those guys, and they can defend. So it's a real, like, the talent is extreme at the high end on Brooklyn. The talent isn't so bad, and Giannis is so good that they play off of him. Look, I've always gone into this thinking, like, Milwaukee's regular season was a little bit of a smokescreen, and the things that they've spent all regular season learning are going to benefit them in the playoffs. I wonder if we saw some of that here, because they did a good job taking the rim away from Giannis, and the Bucks still managed to win.
No, it's a good point. Well, it's kind of one of those things where with them, we'll find out, and it might flame out, but they might end up being okay. I lean towards more being okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's that. We're going to get into the next segment here with Nate Bjorkgren on the hot seat already, which may not make a whole lot of sense, but here we are. We're also here at the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. And you know, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And I know my folks in Boston enjoyed the heck out of Jason Tatum's week, where he averaged 42.7 points on 54.5% shooting. He dropped a 60-point game and led a 32-point comeback against the Spurs. Folks, that will earn you the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. What do you want? What buzzwords do you want to know about Jason Tatum? Joy, happiness, all of that stuff. Joy creates success, and Jason Tatum's success created joy for the Boston Celtics, who have not needed it, or who have not gotten it, but certainly needed it. The question Michelob Ultra asks is, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? That 32-point turnaround against the Spurs made Boston very, very happy after being very, very upset. So congratulations to Jason Tatum for being the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Back to the night in the association, the Dallas Mavericks, 127-113, winners over the Miami Heat. in a game where Tim Hardaway Jr. was the man, 36 points, 4 rebounds and assists to kind of make up for, the rest of the starters were okay. Luka Doncic, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. A great game for him. Miami was getting vintage Trevor Ariza for a while, but ended up losing here. And that could become a costly loss for the Miami Heat, who started out in the sixth seed, but are just only a half game up on the Celtics for the seventh seed.
Yeah, you know, I also love Jalen Brunson off the bench for the Mavs in this. He's been a good scorer for them throughout the year. He had 19 points. And look, when Tim Hardaway Jr. is making 10 of 18 threes, you're probably going to win the game. It's just kind of one of those nights you kind of shrug. Miami probably felt good holding Luka to 23 points. But I don't know. Sometimes those other guys step up.
Yeah, well, yeah. He had 10 of 18 from three. That ties a Dallas Mavericks record for three-pointers in a game, and the third player to ever make 10 three-pointers against the Miami Heat. It boils down to, if you make threes, you win games. The other game on the schedule here that we're going to talk about, or that Jake is going to talk about, New Orleans Pelicans, Jake's Pelicans, 108-103 winners over the Golden State Warriors. Jake, you were there. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought at one point the Warriors were going to run away with this one. Then the lights went out in the Smoothie King Center for a quick second, and Steph Curry after that could not make a shot. So they cheated. They won. Good job, Pelicans, to stay alive in the playoff chase. Look, Pels are three games out of the Spurs now for the 10th seed with a handful of games to go, but San Antonio's got one of the tougher schedules, if not the toughest schedule remaining. So New Orleans has a heartbeat in this one. After losing to the Warriors on Monday in pretty embarrassing fashion, nice to see a guy like Lonzo Ball step up, 33 points, tied a career high in this. That's a night after shooting 3 of 18 from the field overall. They limited Zion and did a good job defending him with Draymond Green, but other guys stepped up, and sometimes that's enough to win you games. And when Steph Curry kind of went off, or like in a bad way off, after those lights went out, led to a New Orleans win. And yeah, good job, Pels.
Good job, Pels. Follow Jake's podcast there, Locked On Pelicans. He'll have that whole thing covered. Locked On has a podcast for every team. So Locked On Warriors, Mavs, Heat, and all of these other teams that we've talked about. If you want to know more in depth from our local experts, check them out. And I know what Locked On Pacers is going to be talking about. A shocking report from Woj on ESPN that out of nowhere, that Nate Bjorkgren's future is, quote, uncertain as the regular season nears an end, sources told ESPN. The Indiana Pacers just hired him. So apparently he's got a three-year deal. Next year the first 2 years are guaranteed, so the third is not. They hired him off of the Toronto Raptors bench. They gave him a chance. And according to Woj, I'm going to read directly from the report, Bjorkgren's style of coaching and communication on the court, in the locker room, and in individual settings with players and staff has often been the root of team turmoil this season. Jake, who's dropping this dime on Bjorkgren?
So I could talk about this one for days, right? Like, this is a team that made this move hoping they were going to be kind of the next Toronto Raptors. This was like a fire Dwayne Casey, hire Nick Nurse kind of move for the Indiana Pacers. Get rid of your coach and Nate McMillan, who is a good coach, just probably isn't the guy that's going to ever lead you to winning an NBA title. Except the Pacers aren't as good as the Toronto Raptors, right? Like, they weren't in position to actually make that leap. And then they traded Victor Oladipo, which didn't do them any favors with sort of this thing. So when they look at that, when I look at this on the surface, kind of like, what did you guys expect? And then it's probably not helping them that Nate McMillan is massively succeeding with the Atlanta Hawks and is 21-11 since he took over that team and makes them look like fools right now.
Right.
So on the surface of this, it's just kind of like, whoa, hold on. But then you start to hear the stuff in the locker room, right? Like, these guys aren't kind of responding to him. He has communication issues. We saw this somewhat recently in Cleveland with a little bit of that. And that's the kind of thing that's a bit of a death sentence for a head coach. But normally that's when you kind of have star players. You know, I like Sabonis. I like Malcolm Brogdon. But are those the guys you need to side with over a head coach that you think might actually be good? And that's the kind of interesting thing here with me. This isn't Zion or Anthony Davis not liking their head coach, right?
Right.
That's the kind of weird thing. We've given those guys a little too much credit in this, but clearly they're not happy there with him. But also, I don't know what this team should be doing instead of fighting for the ninth spot in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, well, this is a team that has been just, you know, crushed with injuries, and it's just been a weird season. I don't know that a first-year coach in this season, the way everything has gone, I don't think him getting this level of scrutiny is fair. But I'm not in that locker room. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe he. Let me backtrack a little bit. How bad does he have to be for this to actually be fair, a fair criticism? Because I think this season is just a pile of crap. And if like, I don't know how much of this is real, how much of this is players being pissed off in general, how much of it is absolutely Bjorkgren having problems communicating. I think that this is overblown. And I go back to my initial question. Why does this drop now? Something had to have happened. This doesn't just come out of nowhere to me, but I can't figure out where it would have come from. It just doesn't make sense to have this criticism.
And there's no specifics in the report, right? Like no one was called thugs or slugs or anything like that. And that's right. Kind of like, yeah, but normally you get something like that, right? Like it's just, oh, this guy isn't really reaching his players and he's got some communication issues with them. Like the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Especially as you said, in this season, it's weird. It seems like they're just disappointed that they're not that good. Not that they should be good, right? Like to me, this is about right for them. And it's just, is this ownership trying to scapegoat the head coach?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. I'll go back to your vets thing because Bjorkgren's style, I'm trying to read between the lines here. He seems to have some influence from Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse has a style of communicating and coaching that some may feel is abrasive. I mean, he's very direct. He's very demonstrative. And I wonder if Bjorkgren has some of that going on, but there's no Kyle Lowry to be like, you know, the stability in that room. There are none of those veteran players or like Marc Gasol in the beginning there to kind of absorb all of that and maybe be a buffer for some people who don't kind of understand it. This just doesn't make any sense.
It's just weird. And they shouldn't fire him for this. Like he should not be fired in my opinion, but also until we get more specifics from that locker room, I don't know.
And what you don't want to become is the team that keeps firing their coach. Because there are plenty of coaches who've had question marks this season. I've heard questions about Brad Stevens this season. Fans have talked about Brad and, you know, this season's disappointing. And I've pushed back on that because I think the circumstances have been terrible. But what you don't want to be is like Carl Anthony Towns having his fourth or fifth different head coach. Now, circumstances a little different there, but still you're going from coach to coach to coach. There are other players who have had multiple coaches, 3, 4, 5 coaches. You know, what's Devin Booker had in Phoenix? Like you don't want to have these developmental things kind of stopping your progress by going from one coach to another coach to another. Like I said, Lockdown Pacers is going to have more on that. That discussion is going to continue across the NBA landscape. When we come back, the Scott Brooks comments on Russell Westbrook and the kind of changing of the conversation when it comes to Russell Westbrook. Is he back in our good graces? First, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Jake and I have spent our own money to go buy more Built Bars than have been sent to us. And there are a ton of different flavors out there. Do you have you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the limited time flavor that when you talk about passionate favorites, that like coconuts, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, my favorite, peanut butter. But not only are the Built Bar flavors better tasting, they're healthy too. 17 grams of protein. Most flavors have only about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. They're all within that range. Before Mother's Day, you know that you can get mom some Built Bars. So go to go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCK15. You're going to get 15% off your next order. Get mom some great Built Bars. They taste delicious. It's like a candy bar, but she's going to love them. You're going to love them. Get them for the whole family, whatever. Pick a flavor, get one box, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your next order. Then pick your favorite flavors, go stock up, use that promo code. It's going to work every time at builtbar.com. Want to lay some money down on a wager or two on sports? Go to betonline.ag. You know, baseball season's in full swing. Obviously, you can bet on the NBA. There's in-game stuff. There's NHL, MMA, UFC, anything that you can think of. They've got the latest news, odds, and info. So before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline. Use your laptop or mobile device. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So if you just deposit $100, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus of $50 with that promo code LOCKEDON. It's free to sign up, so go check it out. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. At BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Three more games we haven't gotten to in the association. Sacramento beating OKC 103-99. But the big win for Sacramento here is they got the MRI results for Tyrese Haliburton. And just a hyperextended left knee, no surgery. He's going to make a full recovery, and he will miss the remainder of the season, but he will be back to participate in offseason training. That's the biggest news for the Sacramento Kings, so good for them. Charlotte, 102-99 winners. They beat the Detroit Pistons. Killian Hayes missed one of two free throws that could have tied the game at the end. LaMelo Ball had 23 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds. Hamidou Diallo dropped a career-high 35 out of nowhere. Another wild game from an unexpected source. Isaac Okoro pulled off a 32-point game, but it wasn't enough for Cleveland to upend Phoenix. Phoenix did need overtime, 31 points for Devin Booker, but a terrible possession at the end to force overtime. Luckily for him, Mikal Bridges had 8 points in the overtime, just kind of took over there. 22 overall for him. Chris Paul, 23 points, 16 assists, no turnovers. So that's your night. Again, check out every Locked On for every team. Those local experts will have all of these games covered in depth if you want more on them. Okay, Russell Westbrook is going to average another triple-double this year for the fourth straight season. We started out by saying, wow, I can't believe somebody's averaging a triple-double. And then we went to, yeah, okay, whatever, he's averaging a triple-double. To now, I think it's swinging back around to, oh, maybe the triple-doubles are meaningful because Washington's playing well. And Scott Brooks came out on Tuesday and said, quote, I always used to say he's going to probably go down as the third best point guard ever, but I think he's past one and he's going to go down as probably the second best. One is obviously Magic. What he does, there's no point guard that has ever done it. Nobody, nobody. I think that is great for a coach to say about his current player. Keep one of your stars happy, keep your job, but that is patently false. He is not the second best point guard of all time, but it does raise this issue, Jake, that I just said. Where are we with the discourse on Russell Westbrook? Is he good again? Do these triple doubles, are they meaningful again, or are we still in that, you're hunting triple doubles and you're getting them?
Yeah, I like that. Is he good again? Is like such a loaded question when it comes
to,
but you're not wrong.
He's very obviously
that.
No, good. He's very obviously good, but like I mean, he could make an all NBA team. But at the same time, the criticism is that, all right, but what do you got?
Doesn't contribute to winning, and that's kind of been the problem for him, right? These past couple of years, you know, his teams haven't been winning. He's got Washington kind of winning right now, but they're 30 and 35. So while the numbers look really good, is he going to win you a championship? Right? Like, is he going to help you go on a deep playoff run with this style of play? And like, you know what? If he was good enough to do that, it would have happened by now to a certain degree. So I don't think he's bad, and I think this is kind of the natural, like, flow and like circle when it comes to some of these players, right? You're underrated, then you get kind of rated and become overrated, and then people don't really like that. So you kind of eventually drop down and then fall out of there. And it's like, oh yeah, that guy who we thought was really good is still kind of really good. We've just stopped talking about him because he hasn't really been relevant to the playoff race into some of the stuff. We saw kind of with Carmelo Anthony, right? Now he's doing a good job with the Portland Trailblazers to a certain degree and is kind of in vogue, especially now that he's hit 10th on the all-time scoring list. So Russ is a good player. You know, you could make an argument for the Hall of Fame for him to a certain degree, if not like really just say he should be in there. But if he's not going to go on those deep playoff runs, if he's not going to win a title as kind of the best player, right? Like 1A or 1B on a team, you're not going to be rated the second best point guard ever because titles come into play in that stuff. That's holding him back. Like, he's a good player. I wouldn't want him on my team. I think most people you talk to don't want him on their team. And that probably tells you a lot about kind of where he stands in the hierarchy of players in the NBA. I love watching him play. Him in his prime in that like no holds barred kind of bowling ball style of play that he still has to a certain degree is really, really fun to watch. I just don't want to build a team around him.
He has always been a fun spectacle where, and he's got his athleticism back because he had been hurt. He'd been dealing with torn quads, which is not a fun injury. And that obviously held him back. There's still an element of a Russell Westbrook game where he can take over the wrong way at the wrong time. And people who are watching other teams saying, hey, our best player is Russell Westbrook because he's taking ill-advised shots and he shoots his team out of games from time to time. So he is capable of a lot. He's obviously one of the most ferocious attackers from the guard position. He can certainly find people, and he rebounds well. Now, I think he pads his rebounding stats, but fine, whatever. You want to debate that? We can debate that. But what he hasn't done is control that level of ego to the point where he will make the right play all the time. And let's just look at the other point guard that played tonight, Chris Paul. Chris Paul, everywhere he's gone, now he hasn't won a championship either, but he goes to places and makes those teams like better. If Russell Westbrook went to Phoenix, would Phoenix be challenging for the top seed in the East? I mean, the West?
No, you say no. It's good. He doesn't contribute to winning, which means I don't want him on. You know, if I were building a team, I wouldn't want him. If there were rumors of the Celtics trading for him, you'd probably hate that, right?
I would not be thrilled with that because he's a very high usage ball dominant guy. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the Celtics
you don't like the, but that's kind of what I think caused him to be overrated. Oh, the dude's got like a 35%, 40% use, whatever it is. I'm not looking those numbers up right now. You hate a guy like that. It's inefficient, right? We love efficiency in this version of the NBA that we're seeing. And he's just not that. And unless you're one of those players, it's tough to kind of slot you in. Like Chris Paul doesn't have a super high usage percentage, right? And he makes the team better, as you said. And that's kind of the difference there, I think. And that's why, yes, from afar with like that 1,000-foot pole, he's awesome. Great player. Love watching him. When you get a little bit closer to him and he's about to be on your team, it doesn't look so good.
Yeah. I think he's the type of player that other players love because he's one-on-one, he's going to win. If you put the entire league, line them up and play a one-on-one tournament, he has a chance at winning that one-on-one tournament.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of guys who do, but he's got a chance on a 5-on-5. He also has a chance to be dominant for stretches. I've watched him tear the Celtics apart, dominate. And that's certainly what he's capable of. What he still doesn't have is that feel for, you know, I'm going to defer. I don't think he defers to anything. He's not a defer kind of guy. And sometimes you've got to defer in the right situation. You've got to be willing to be the decoy. And I don't know that he does that enough for me. So he's 32 and he's going to, at some point here, the athleticism is going to start going away. The injuries that he has been suffering will potentially continue to pile up as you get older. So I don't know how much he's got left here. So I do want to appreciate the crazy athleticism that helps fuel the Russell Westbrook, as you said, the cannonball that he is sometimes. But I'm just not there on all of the recent kind of gushing, because he's going to average that triple-double again, and it's a very historic accomplishment, but I can't help but feel that there's still some emptiness to it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to sum it up. You know, again, like him from a distance, don't really love him up close, and I think that kind of sums it up pretty well.
All right, hey, by the way, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Who is the best superhero in the NBA? Quickly, what was your, I know you're a superhero guy. Did you watch that?
I was actually at the game, so I didn't get to see it, but I saw like a clip or two here or there, not really for me, but kind of a fun broadcast. And look, it's not like those normal broadcasts on ESPN are so great in the first place. I kind of whispered that.
Make sure you get all the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. So follow Locked On Today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. That's going to do it for us here on the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast. On Wednesdays, we're your hosts. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. Find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at NolaJake.
Make sure you subscribe to Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On NBA podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.